Would you join me as we make our confession here of God's word, our confidence in Him and His Spirit to speak to our hearts today through His word. All right, ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By His truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple weeks ago, I shared part one of this message. And I shared how I was watching a news program one night, and it talked about how so many people are battling clinical anxiety and depression right now with everything that's going on. And they were sharing about just like warning signs. They were interviewing a doctor and so forth about the just signs of the depression or anxiety. As we think about it, I was thinking about the question, is it even possible to have peace? Can we really have peace here in this world, in this life? And Jesus says this in John 14, 27, kind of like our theme verse for this message. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Thank God it's His peace that He gives. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And there are four steps that we can take that help promote the peace of Jesus, that help us to maintain it. So based on what Jesus said, yes, we can have peace, but we have to be diligent to stay in peace, because there is always something in this life that will potentially take our peace from us. It will potentially fill our hearts with anxiety and with fear. And even in John chapter 16, Jesus said that. 14, 15, 16, 17 is a prayer He prayed, but 14, 15, 16, He's talking about this whole theme as He's finished up communion, basically the Lord's Supper, we call it, with His disciples. He's heading to that place of Gethsemane, which is an olive press, Gethsemane, where olives would be crushed under the weight of that stone so that the oil would come out. And He's heading to that place. And as Jesus was in that, what we call the Garden of Gethsemane, He was under such of the weight of what our sin would do to Him on the cross, that He had such pressure that it was actually, He was bleeding out of the pores, sweat and blood coming out of the pores of His skin. And as He, on the way, in John 16, 33, He says, in this world, you will have tribulation. That word means pressure, anxiety. It will be trouble. There will be persecution. He just told them, some of you are going to, you're going to be persecuted because you follow me. You identify with me. Some of you will give your lives, and people who take your lives will think they're serving God. But He said, be of good cheer. Take heart. I have overcome the world. This world will not overcome you. So He says, my peace I give to you. And I wanted to make it personal. And so the message this morning is just simply, Jesus, I receive your peace. Jesus, I receive your peace. Would you say that with me? Jesus, I receive your peace. Now, the word peace has the idea of tranquility or harmony. It can even mean welfare, like wellness. So when Jesus says, my peace I leave with you, Jesus was, he went through the entire range of human emotions, but He never allowed His circumstances or His feelings to separate Him from being in harmony with His Father. He always had that place of tranquility within. He had that place of just wellness on the inside. Even as His emotions, so forth, could be angry, He could be grieved, He could be troubled, He could be sad, all of those emotions that we experience, but He maintained harmony with His Father, so He had that place of deep peace in His spirit. And the key to not only receiving, but maintaining, staying in that place of peace, is to be in close fellowship with the One who is our peace. That's why in John 15, again, 14, 15, 16, it all goes together here in John 15, Jesus said, abide in me. And he said, as you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll bear fruit. Because without me, you can't bear that kind of fruit. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So you see how peace comes as a byproduct? And it's basically the outcome of staying in close fellowship with him. And again, Jesus said, we're going to have trouble in this world. We're going to have stress, anxiety, fears, pressure, persecution. But when those times come, I would just say this. Let's try to use it to draw closer to our Prince of Peace and not allow it to take us away from him, to focus on him. So Jesus, I receive your peace. Two steps I shared 2 weeks ago. I'll briefly mention them, then we'll close with these last two. But the first way to experience the peace of Jesus is we must believe in Jesus. John chapter 14 and verse 1, Jesus said, believe in me in the same way that you believe in the Father. So believe in me. And when we believe in Jesus as the sinless, crucified, and risen Lord, and we receive him as Lord in our lives, that trust, that childlike faith brings us into the peace with God. The Bible says by faith we have peace with God into this grace in which we stand. So we have peace with God. Our sins are forgiven. Thank God our sins are forgiven. He says they're washed by the blood that he shed on the cross, cleanses us from all sin. He removes our sin as far as the east is from the west and makes us righteous in the eyes of a holy God. Then his Spirit indwells us. See, God is never shaken. He's never worried. He's never overcome by fear. And so he is our source of peace on the inside. So we must believe in him. If we believe in him for our eternal salvation, can't we believe in him for the grace we need in our day-to-day lives? I remember I shared with you a couple of weeks ago just being in a situation like the psalmist David with some health things going on and waking up. I remember specifically one morning waking up about 3 a.m. My heart was racing, just had like this, like a nervous, like my breath was shallow and everything. And that's when I took one of those little Gideon Bibles and I would read the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's when I really just began to just get it in my heart and memorize this psalm. And I would say that and focus on it and read it until I felt my emotions calm down and the peace of the Lord come in. And so I can tell you, I'm not just saying something here. I want to live it out myself. But to believe in Jesus, and then the second step that we looked at there in John as well a couple weeks ago, was to love Jesus and love others. It's important that, because Jesus said, he says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. And he says, I want you to love others so that people will know you are my disciples. So to have the peace of God, remember, love, joy, peace, to have God's peace, we have to receive his love for us. His love for us is not based on how well we performed, how many times we did this, how much money we gave. All those things are important. But his love for us is based on who he is. And to receive a love for you that took Jesus to the cross to pay for your sins, you are loved, and we can be in that place of receiving his love. Jesus said, he who loves me will do what? Keep my commandments. We'll do what he says. Now, we all fall short in our humanity and our weakness at times, but love inspires obedience. It's his love in me and his love for me that inspires me to love him, and I want to do right, and then to love others. To love others means we're seeking their highest good, and it's not just, you know, we seek, well, what will somehow be a blessing to consider them? The Bible says, don't just look out for your own interests, consider others' interests as well. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and our love will come to you. And Jesus said, I will manifest myself. I'll reveal myself to you. That's John 14, 21, I believe it is. One of the ways Jesus reveals himself to us when we love him and do his will is he reveals himself to us in peace. So those were the first two steps that we can take. So would you say, Jesus, Jesus. Would you say, Jesus, I receive your peace. Now let me give you these last two. Philippians chapter 4. So to believe in Jesus, love Jesus and others, and then number 3, pray with thanksgiving. This will be a very familiar scripture for many of us. Pray with thanksgiving. I'll read it in just a moment. But when we pray with thanksgiving, it is an expression of our faith in God, and it's an exercise of our faith in God. And when we exercise a muscle, what happens to it? Grows stronger, and we exercise our faith in God by giving him thanks and praise, even when we're in prayer, before we see the answer or anything along that line. It exercises our faith. Our faith grows stronger, and we become more like him. And that's ultimately what he's after anyway. So to give God thanks is a step of faith. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, says this: Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. That's an expression of faith too, isn't it? What if you don't feel like rejoicing? Again, we're at times we don't always feel like it, but our rejoicing is not in our circumstances. Our rejoicing is in the Lord. Verse 5, let your gentleness or your moderation, your forbearance be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, would you read this verse out loud with me? If you read it off the screen, we'll be on the same translation. Would you read it? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then let's go on to verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, because God is never shaken, when we give him thanks, there's something about the peace of God that begins to come in. The Bible says the peace of God will keep guard over your heart and mind. It's like anxiety, that's right, is like a sentinel standing guard, like a soldier. And so here's anxiety and fear. It's entered into my heart because something came up quick and I heard this report or something happened and all of these things are going on and my emotions are so riled up right now. I'm so afraid or I'm so scared or worried or whatever it may be. But as we begin to just focus on the Lord, believe in him, to do his will and give him, pray. Don't let it just be a worry list. Let it be a prayer list. But when we pray with thanksgiving, then there's something about God's peace that comes in and evicts anxiety and evicts fear and evicts worry and stands guard over our hearts and minds. I believe the peace of God is one of the greatest treasures of this life. It cannot be, we cannot place a human price tag on the peace of God. I would rather have his peace than a possession. I can say that I believe as honest as I know my heart before God. So he says to give him thanks, to look at him for that way, and his spirit again, it's the key is being in fellowship with him. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. So when we say, Jesus, I receive your peace, we're just simply believing what he said. My peace I give to you. Was Jesus ever overcome with just anxiety and worry and fear? See, he is the key. I remember, well, let me go on. I want to share this with you, and then I'll give you the last one. It's found in Mark chapter 4. There's an account here in Mark chapter 4 where Jesus is, he's dismissed the crowds. He shared the parables with them. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, the Bible says this. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he, speaking of Jesus, said to them, notice these words, please, let us cross over to the other side. All right? Let us cross over to the other side. Verse 36. So when they had left the multitude, the disciples, they took Jesus along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm. Would you say great? A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Verse 39, then Jesus arose, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Great storm, great calm. Verse 40, but Jesus said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Let me pause there just a second. They said, "Don't you care?" He said, "The issue isn't me caring. The issue is you believing. How is it that you have no faith?" What is faith? Where does faith come from? Okay. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith is really believing and acting on what God said. Why should they have not been in a panic? A storm came up. It was a great windstorm. They felt like their lives were in danger. They were out on this body of water regularly, out in this little lake we call the Sea of Galilee. Why should they have had peace? Okay, because Jesus said, "Let us cross over to the other side," and because they had Jesus in the boat with them. Whenever we go through storms, it's always good. He's a good one to have in your boat. But really, in a sense, we have him not in our boat, but in our heart. And we never go through a storm if we know him. We never go through a storm in this life without him. See, Jesus was in the storm with his disciples, but the storm was not in Jesus. I like how you say that, Brother Mark, many times. You remind us of we're in the storm, but the storm is not in us. That's Jesus, I receive your peace. He said, you know, as I was preparing for this, I was thinking, I wonder how many times, not just myself, maybe you can relate, I'm sure you can. It's like fear or anxiety. I lose peace sometimes in a situation where I realize that I am not in control. See, they weren't in control of this situation. And as I was thinking about it, I remember being, you know, taking flights before. And I remember on a couple occasions being just like in a, you know, getting through some turbulence. And I remember this one time storm just flying out of New York, I believe, to Israel. And that pilot was just, that plane, it's a little uneasy feeling in that shaky tube going, you know, heading up to 35,000 feet or whatever it is. And going in, but I just said, you know what? In that moment, the Lord helped me to just remember, there's nothing I can do about it. I prayed that we would be able to make it safely. So, Lord, we're in your hands. Here we go. But if I could remember to do that all the time, it would help me to experience the peace of the Lord more. And then he says this. It says this in the last verse of that chapter, verse 41. Says, then they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Isn't that a key? The better we get to know him through fellowship with him, prayer, worship, his word, just all of those activities that keep us in fellowship with the Lord, as we get to know him better, we get closer to him, we grow in faith, and we grow more like him so that we can grow more peaceful in the storms of life. Jesus, I receive your peace. Would you say it with me? Jesus, I receive your peace. And then the last one. So again, believe in Jesus, love Jesus and others, pray with thanksgiving, and then finally, think godly thoughts. Think godly thoughts. If you're there in Philippians chapter 4 still, let me read this next verse, the next two verses, verses 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Again, familiar scripture for many of you. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Dwell on these things. Think on these things. Then verse 9, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and what? And the God of peace will be with you. Godly thoughts are healthy to our mind and our bodies. That's a scientific fact now, that what we choose to focus on, the thoughts that we think actually cause a chemical reaction in our bodies, in our cells. And if we think healthy thoughts, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, they actually can have a health benefit in our physical bodies. I was reading, in fact, that same news broadcast where I was talking about the doctor and he was saying how there's so many battling depression, anxiety. They asked him, what can we do that would be helpful? Now, is a news broadcast, a news reporter asking him, and he says, watch your social media input and limit your negative news intake. He's interviewed on the news, that's what he's telling them. But isn't that true? I mean, in fact, just think about it. Please don't say anything out loud, but just think, what have I been focusing on recently? What have I been dwelling on? What have I been putting my mental energy on? Because that may be an indication of how much peace we've experienced. So to be able to, now we're going to have the thoughts. Let's just be honest. We're human. We're going to have those thoughts. But what do we do with the thoughts? Do we allow them to draw us closer to Jesus and cast those thoughts down? We have to replace the thoughts. It's like if I'm focusing on, you know, whatever it might be, if I'm focusing on the candle and this represents something that's negative, maybe it's a disobedient thought, I can't just say, well, I'm not going to focus on that. I'm not going to focus on that, because that it draws my focus. What I have to do is replace it by focusing on something better. So Jesus said, if it's not true, this is what the scripture is. Sometimes we believe a lie like Elijah, a man of God, but yet he even said it. He said, I'm the only one serving the Lord out here. He said that at that showdown with the false prophets. But eventually, he put himself in a cave and was kind of like in despair because he was thinking he was the only one. He really wasn't. And God reached out to him and said, no, I got 7,000 more. You're not the only one. Sometimes we just have to broaden our perspective. But do you see how he believed that and he focused on the wrong thing and it took him there? So we have to focus on what God says is true. That's why it's so important. We need to know the truth. We need to know the word and focus on it and confess it and believe it so that our faith is built up in the Lord. I remember when Brittany had surgery. She had surgery October, the end of October was a year ago. We were in a hospital in Charlottesville. And I wanted to have an opportunity for, you know, there's three of us there, that we could pray together before that she would go off to, to the, you know, whatever room is to prepare. And we were in there together, and all of a sudden, they came and took her away, and I was like, wait a minute. You know, I didn't have the time to pray. I was like, it made me uneasy, and I think, if I remember correctly, they allowed one to go back with her. Is that when you went, didn't you, Kim? So I was out there by myself in the hospital. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning, and I felt so uneasy. I was like, man, that didn't go like I wanted, you know? And so I was there at the hospital by myself, and so I walked down to, there was a little chapel, and I went into this chapel. I just sat in there by myself. I started praying, and I was like, Lord, you know, I was praying for her, but I was uneasy, man. I didn't have peace in that moment. And I went over to, they had this stand. It had like little booklets and so forth in it, or Bibles, had Quran, you know, different material. I saw this little devotion called The Upper Room, and I ended up picking it up. And I looked on that day's devotion, and it really, the Bible talks about a word in season. It was a word in season for me that I needed right at that moment. And you know, I took that devotion with me. I started reading it. I've been reading it ever since. I'll buy it now, and you know, to support that work. But you know what I found out a few days later? In fact, I think we were home before I realized that devotion was a year old, and it was still sitting up on that shelf. It was waiting on me. Amen. it was a now word that the Lord just allowed. And then thankfully, someone sent and got me, and we were able to have a little time with Brittany in like a little preparation room where we could just be with her and I could pray a little more. But I'm thankful the Lord gave me that in that moment. And I was just reading it. In fact, this one is just from this week on December 23rd. I'll close this here in just a moment. But I will give you just a couple more verses. But this, an older man apparently is writing this one. His name is Kenneth. He lives in Idaho. Different contributors write on this devotion. And he says around Christmas, you know, we're urged to, you know, make time out of our busy schedule to talk to God and spend time in Scripture and so forth. And he said, these are great suggestions, but my problem is I'm not busy. I'm 86 years old, estranged from my family, have macular degeneration, and live alone. My Christmases are devoid of joyful activity. I used to spend the Christmas season remembering the good times spent with family in previous years. But when I dwelled on the past, I ended up overwhelmed by tears and sadness. Recently, I've learned to turn my thoughts to the present and focus on how much God is blessing me right now. I live in a nice place. A grocery delivery service has started in my area. I go to the senior center for lunch a few days a week, and I have time to be with God and time to write. So instead of pining for the past, I focus on the present and anticipate the future, knowing that the Christ of Bethlehem is with me and brings me blessings every day. I still miss my family and sometimes weep over them, but I've learned that we can enjoy the present when we begin to name the blessings God has given to us today. It's a never-ending list that can bring us the joy of the Christmas season. You see how he focused on what God said? The Bible says this in Romans chapter 8, 5 and 6. I'll close with these verses. Romans 8, 5 and 6 says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Would you say that with me? To be spiritually minded is life and peace. I don't know if I gave you this translation or not, but Romans 8, 6 in the ISV words it this way. To focus our minds on the human nature leads to death, but to focus our minds on the Spirit leads to life and peace. Thank God we have the power of God's Spirit within us, and we can focus on what God says to focus on. Will it be a battle? Yes. Will there always be something to steal our peace from us? Yes. But Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And we can receive the peace of the Lord, and we can stay in that place of maintaining. Yes, anxiety comes. Yes, fear. Yes, worry. But that doesn't end the day. We don't have to stop there. Let's go on and do what Jesus said. When those opportunities for anxiety, fear, and worry come, and they will, let's use them as an opportunity to draw closer to the Lord and do what he says. And we have his assurance, if we do what he says, we will have the results he promised. Jesus, I receive your peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says this. I think it's a great blessing, a great fitting end to the message here. When our hearts are troubled and fearful, let's be doers of the word, because 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. One last time, would you say it with him? Jesus, I receive your peace. Let's say it together. Jesus, I receive your peace. Can we stand together and we go to the Lord in prayer before we share this time of communion?